Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva, Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of Days of Our Lives episodes and our interview with Brian Dottillo from last night. You can follow us on our blog daily at divadaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can follow me, my name is Carrie, and on Twitter at Diva Abdul. And also we have a couple of Facebook pages and all that. And tonight we have our friend Marianne here. She's at Mama Hooch.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, we have Anna, and she's at Causey Hooch.
Hello.
Yay. We all got on. We all made it.
Last
two shows of the
day. I still can't get in the chat room, but oh well.
It's bad music. That's bad music anyway. We need to come up with some better music.
Maybe we could use the dual in-house music. Maybe we could use that porn music they play that they create in-house on Days.
No.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah. Have you ever called and gotten on the queue waiting for the host to answer? The music is so bad on Blog Talk Radio. It's the same flipping song over and over and over again. So, Anna, is there anybody you want to pimp tonight before we forget?
Well, I just noticed that Amy Hapka, at Amy Hapka, just tweeted to me right before we were coming on. So hello to her, and hello to her stranger half, I guess I should say, at Bob Hapka. Give them a shout-out. And let's see, I might want to give a shout-out to at Kian Fans, KianFans. The fun thing for Kate and Ian fans, and at Lauren Coslow, of course, and at Kilt Trip USA, Kilt for Scottish, KiltTrip USA for Ian Buchanan's account. I think those are my pimps for now. I have Brian Dottillo. We should also, what is his? At
Brian_
And then DATTILO.
Right.
DRYAN_DATTILO.
Yeah, and Patrick Muldoon actually is on Twitter right now. So at Muldoon Patrick, he posted a couple of pictures on Twitter. It looks like he was filming something with his brother-in-law, Amat Zappa. So there's something about a TV show about children's characters who fight crime, like real life. Yeah, he said it's funny. So anyway, he's on the list right now. But pay attention to our show first.
No, that's good. That's
okay. So we got Bob. Oh, and Teo Pinglis too. I saw Teo was on Twitter today too.
Of course.
Yes. Oh yeah. Can't forget Teo Pinglis. Yes. Go follow.
And Mama Hooch is MAM_, because you know there's always a score when a Hoochie's involved.
Hoochie, right.
So M A.
Don't forget that score part.
MAM_HOOCH. And we are actually not mother and daughter, even though Bob did think we were at one point because Mama Hooch and Cousin Hooch. But you know, now by the baby Hooch, I think you know that's been a little bit more obvious. Oh, but I have to say I've learned some of my Hoochie ways from the best, so I guess I could say that, you know, in some ways, very good teacher, Mama Hooch.
Okay, so you just want to talk about Ryan with Brian last night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
That was fun.
He's fun.
Sweetheart.
He's always fun.
Yeah, and apparently he did the interview naked. Now, I mean, I'm just going to choose to believe he wasn't joking about that, and because that fits in with my paradigm of what I like to think about Brian is nakedness. But
he's been talking to Teo a little bit too much, I think.
Yeah, we didn't ask him what he was drinking.
That sounds like his interview. Yeah.
We didn't ask him what he was drinking, though, darn it.
Yeah, we didn't ask him what he was drinking, just what he was wearing, yeah.
Teo probably warned him not to go in, in a weakened state. Just kidding.
Yes. Loved his impression, too.
I have to say, one of my favorite parts was of the interview was in the chat was when he did some impressions. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes.
Anybody who missed that last night,
he did them quite well. Got the attitudes down anyway, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. When he did Teo, oh, my gosh.
Yes, oh, my God.
I
can just hear him say, oh, my God, that's so him.
And he did Lauren as Kate, as playing Kate.
As Kate. He did
Lauren as
Kate.
And that was really cute, too. Love
but he did
that.
Teo
he
as
did,
Teo, yeah.
Yeah, and then he did. Yeah. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the other ones, but Patrick as
yes,
Austin.
As Austin.
Or actually, Patrick is Patrick and Austin.
Or Patrick is Patrick. It was about the same thing. Is there a difference? No.
I asked
Patrick, is there a difference? Yeah.
It was really fun. And we learned he's quite the gardener. He's got quite a few things in his garden.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that, ironically enough, the dogs ate all the tomatoes, which means they have really good taste because they love tomatoes. But oddly enough, Lauren Coslow has an organic tomato farm, or mostly tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes. So I suggested today on Twitter that she might want to bring some for Brian next time they go into the office together.
Oh,
or, I mean, next
nice.
Time they're working together. Because he has no tomatoes. He has a lot of other things. Was he raspberries, grapes, all kinds of stuff. Let's see.
Yeah,
some of
that's
the other
my
things
type
we
of...
got out of the interview, he revealed that his tattoo was allowed to be shown a few times. So that indicates some shirtlessness ahead.
Yay.
And that some beds are going to be broken. So and sooner than we think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are a couple of good little... spoilers there for the Lumi fans anyway, huh?
That was my best part, too. And I can't believe it. When you asked Lorne to do Lorne, I'm like, oh, come on, he's not going to be able to do Lorne. He did. He's going to be such
cute.
A... bitch. It was just perfect.
And she always says honey at the end to make it sound nice or whatever,
yeah.
Something like that. Sweetie. Sammy's such a bitch, you don't want her, sweetie. And he lowered his voice because, you know, Kate's voice is lower and more serious.
Right.
Restrained.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's a total difference between Lauren and Kate's voice. It's just amazing.
So, it's so cool.
You don't even think you're talking to you're not talking to the same person, yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
She's
yeah.
adorable.
Go ahead.
We also got to ask him about Toronto. It sounded like he loved the Toronto event.
Mm-hmm.
He got to meet Allie. Allie did the interview for TV Guide Canada, and he got to meet her. And he talked very fondly about Toronto and everything. It sounds like they had a great time. Sounds like they have great food, great... environment and everything up there, so he sounded like he really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Marianne?
Nice to hear his take on the on his character and the growth that he's had since he's been off air for a couple of years, both the character and Brian. Oh, that was really insightful. Really enjoyed that. Hello?
What were your thoughts, Marianne?
Yeah. Same thing. I enjoyed the impressions, and I know he spoke a lot about his son, too, which I thought was very nice. And his son has, because he's autistic, and I kind of can relate to that. My son works with autistic kids, but he works with younger kids. But yeah, I just, and he seems like his son, sounds like his son's doing very well, sounds like he's really involved. He says he's coaches him in basketball and in football. So that's, that was nice to hear. So
yeah.
Sounds
like he's a really good dad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a basketball court in the back of his house, set up to look like the LA Lakers. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And he talks that he's a hunt. I guess he likes to hunt. He goes on, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which just I just don't picture him. I'd never, you know, I would have never thought of that until he, you know, he said that he likes hunting. But yeah, he was going hunting.
His mom said because he went almost shot himself, maybe it wasn't a good idea for him to go hunting for.
Yeah, and I know he likes when he was, yeah, he was doing the impression with Teo. I know he likes to go to the, they like to go to the horse races. That's where they, you know, him and Teo go to the horse races together. I mean, because I know when I've talked to Teo before,
that
he would mention him and Brian will go, and that's what they do. And that's what he was kind of doing, that little impression, like when they go to the horse races.
Oh, that was
and then,
hilarious.
Then he talked
about
Teo's
sugar?
Dinner party. You know, Teo and his dinner party, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, food snob that he is and everything, yeah. Whatever.
Yes, we'll have no Costco nuts or dips.
No
at
Costco
Teo's
dips
party.
At Teo's
Costco, yes.
Party.
No,
no
Costco.
No.
And I guess
no
probably the biggest
or
scandal,
peanuts.
the biggest Twitter scandal of the evening was that Allie Smith had she was in Canada, so she couldn't call in, and she had suggested that I ask about the salted French toast. It's a Lumi reference. And because Sam, I believe it was Sammy made French toast sometime, but she put salt instead of sugar or something. Anyway, I mentioned the salted French toast, and he thought, I didn't know at the time that he thought I said sausage, and it threw him for a loop. And he's like, you mean like pigs in a blanket and stuff? And I'm like, I'm thinking, and I said, I may have messed that whole reference up. I'm sorry. And then afterwards, the Lumi fans were debating whether it sounded like sausage or sounded like salted. So I'm now involved. I'm deeply embroiled in Sausage
Lost
Gate.
Lost in translation there somewhere.
I'm deeply embroiled in Sausage Gate 2012. So stay tuned for more of that.
Yeah, I thought you said sausage. I didn't know. I had no idea what the hell you were talking
about.
No,
I heard French toast, but I didn't understand the salted French
that.
Toast.
I
heard salted French toast.
Snack or something. I don't know. You know, but it was.
Yeah. Could be.
I mean, I was looking at it
on your phone and
that
too.
Salted, but it may have. You know, it certainly could have sounded. Obviously, sounded like sausage to a lot of people. So, oh well. I tried.
I'm just glad there's a Twitter controversy. I had nothing to do with it. I was busy doing
involve,
my own thing.
It didn't involve any former Days actors either.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Not.
But I'm sure I worked behind the I worked behind the scenes though on that one totally.
Yeah. So we'll see if I'm hoping that the Congress does not want to do any investigation on the Sausage Gate 2012 because that would be really embarrassing. But you know. You know, you never want to hear your recordings played back again in front of the entire country. I mean, that would just be really mortifying. But anyway, so we'll see. see how that
Don't
goes.
Worry. I deleted all the incriminating emails. So we're good.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to admit that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oops.
Oh, the drama of Twitter. Don't you love the drama of Twitter? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, every day you just don't know what to expect.
Oh, I know. Yeah, so, you know, I'm still reeling from that controversy, but it's okay. We'll recover. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
No, but we had a lot of fun. It sounded like we had a few Lumi fans that got a little shy and just, you know, we're too afraid to call in because, you know, Brian is so intimidating.
Yeah.
I'm
Brian, I know,
no.
He's so mean and he's so
he's
hard
so
to talk
mean.
To.
But, you know, I understand it's intimidating.
He's
you know,
one of the most fan-friendly ones from Days, from just meeting him. And that's what I told him when I on the show, you know, the crowd just, like, you know, went crazy for him. And he just engages with people. Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah, he's always a lot of fun. So, yeah, nothing to be afraid of. Call it, you know.
No. he's great.
Go meet him if you have a chance to go meet him.
Yeah, he's a sweetie.
Won't be disappointed.
He's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good time with Brian. I was pretty wired afterwards. Oh.
I know, but you called me.
No.
I know. I was like wound. No. Sausage does that to a person. What can I say? No.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been like the Lumi porn version, sausage French toast. I hadn't even thought about that. Huh, okay. That's a whole other spin. Now I'm in trouble with the FCC.
Yeah, and I don't know where Pigs in a Blanket came in. I don't know where he got that.
Well,
isn't that what he said?
Yeah, I was confused, but that's because he thought I said sausage. And later, I'm glad somebody said something on Twitter because I was like, I did not understand that entire conversation, but now I realize that, you know, he was probably thinking sausage, French toast. What the heck is she talking about? And probably the only thing he could think of was, you know, Pigs in a Blanket or something. So, anyway, oh well, this too shall pass. But anyway, it was a lot of fun joking about it afterwards with the girls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was fun. We really appreciate him coming on and talking with us and everything, because that was a long time in the making. We've been wanting to do that for a long time.
And is there an announcement you want to make, or do you think we should wait on the announcement?
Let's see.
Hmm.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, go for it.
I guess we could. Should we announce it now, you think? Well, maybe we should. Do you think
we're talking about interview.
All right.
Well.
All right. Well, we have a special engagement coming up. We have a special event coming up in about a week and a half on Monday, April 9th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be interviewing both Lauren Coslow and Ian Buchanan together.
Yeah.
So this should be a lot of
fun.
Yes, really.
Because, you know, we love Lauren. We've talked with her before, and she's just a blast. She's so fun with the fans and everything. And if you guys haven't had a chance to play with Ian on Twitter, he's a lot of fun. He's really cute. He's really enjoying Twitter, I think. So he's a lot of fun. And
he really loves Kian fans.
He likes Kian fans. He enjoys at mm-hmm. Kian fans. Let's pimp it again. KianFans. And he enjoys tweeting with the fans, so we encourage all of you guys to check in with him, say hi and everything, and say something naughty. He seems to enjoy that. So anyway, good for him. So we'll be announcing this formally after the show, but I just wanted to go ahead and let you guys know, if you're listening, that that should be a fun event, Monday night, the 9th, and we will have we'll put out a tweet and we'll do a link to the event after the show tonight.
Yeah, it's probably me tomorrow. You stay up and schedule the show and then make a blog and then link it.
Well, if I could get in on the darn thing.
Then I have to put it on Twitter.
If Blog Talk were cooperating with my computer, I would be able to do it, but I can't get in there right now. It's not working.
Yeah, and you didn't send me that write-up either. I'm still waiting on that.
I know. I apologize. Anyway, so that's something to look forward to. It should be quite fun, so we're looking forward to that.
You know, we have Angela online. Waiting. Poor girl's been on hold for 16 minutes. I had to get Aunt Miss Angela on.
Hey there. How are you ladies?
There she is.
Hello, Angela.
Hey.
My computer died this week, so I have been. It was a slow death. I have been without Twitter and without my computer now at all for like 3 days. So this is my only way. You can tell I'm a true fan of you ladies because I called in to listen to the show because I couldn't listen to it through the computer. It's very sad.
You had to listen on the phone, yeah.
Yes, I did. So you know that I'm loyal and that I do care about you guys. I missed the Brian interview. It sounds like a hoot, and I cannot wait to hear it. And I'm also excited that y'all have got the thing scheduled with Ian and Laura. That'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So very good. very good. But I did see most of Days this week. I just wondered what you guys had thought as far as the – is anybody enjoying the Alabania story now?
Oh God, no.
No. But I have to tell you, Angela, I'm enjoying E. Jammy again.
I know.
Oh,
I
yeah,
know.
They were good.
I told Anna, just seeing them in the pub there, and every time I see them in the scenes, how cute. I said, now I remember why I liked E. Jammy.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're back in each other's. See, they've been keeping them away from each other and having them sniping. But when they're together, you can see, you know, it's just kind of like from the beginning. I said, now I remember why I like them. Yeah.
It was very good. The conversation at the pub was a hoot, you know, with the bottle of wine.
That was the best. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess because the sex was so good. What?
What?
Maybe you think your kid's dead, and you still are thinking about the good sex when, you know, you think your kid's dead. So that must have been pretty darn good sex, I got to say.
Well, hello, yeah.
Well,
it's easy here.
Is that what you're thinking?
Of course, that was probably my favorite part. I talked to somebody on the phone a few minutes ago, and like I said, I am going through terrible internet withdrawal. I just honestly, this is pitiful to say, but I mean, it's just it really is. I think a bad problem. I mean, I have not been able to get on Twitter.
Oh, I would be going crazy too.
So,
you need it on your phone. That's really bad too.
And I was talking to somebody earlier, and they were talking about Days and everything, and I had to get her to look up the telephone number actually for tonight because I couldn't remember what it was. And anyway, it's just been quite the evening. But anyway, we were talking about Days and the Alamania story, and she doesn't read spoilers. She just watches, you know, for escapism. She loves EJ and Sammy, so she was very pleased with me too. But but she just kept saying, I don't understand why there's such a big deal over this egg. And I said, no one understands why there's such a big deal.
Why does Stefano so interested all of a sudden? Where did that come from?
And like, how is that time?
He went from one
he was upset about, you know, with the safe
with EJ. Right, exactly. Did they drop that? I wonder if they dropped that, or are we going back
know.
To that, or
I don't know. You know, one thing I read right before the my hard drive crashed. I thought it was a virus, and anyway, it doesn't make any difference what happened to my PC. But I was able to get on for a little while afterwards, you know, using a different kind of browser, and then everything went kaput. But when I was looking out there, people were talking, and I don't know. And again, I haven't been able to really check and verify because I don't go on Facebook very much at all. But there was some discussion that Daryl Thomas had closed out his Twitter account on Facebook, and his Facebook account and his Twitter account, and that Marlene had closed her Facebook account. I think she was still on Twitter last I checked. Again, that's been days now. Mm-hmm. So I wondered what precipitated all of that, or if it was just too many people just deluging them with whatever they thought needed to be going on with the show. Did anybody read anything about that or hear anything?
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm.
So, I thought we're
you never know.
Had been hacked, so I don't know if Sarah Brown was talking to him on Twitter about his account having been hacked, and so it's possible, you know.
Maybe both of them have that problem. I don't know.
I remember Marlene and Daryl both took down their Twitter and their Facebook accounts, and I guess they were supposed to go to the Outfest that where they were all discussing Will's storyline. They weren't there, so there's people actually speculating whether or not there's even still a show. Or you know, this thing's kind of bizarre. You think they'd want to be there for the Outfest? So I guess they were.
They were not there to discuss the Will story. That is the thing. That is suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep, so It's peculiar. I thought it was bizarre they were on Twitter anyway. It's like, really? Do they really want all that? You know,
yeah,
do you really want all that
yeah.
feedback? I mean, you know, that just, I didn't think that was a good idea to begin with. Especially
yeah.
when, you know, Dina had her, Dina Higley had her blog. I mean, that didn't last too long. But it just didn't sound, you know, it wasn't a good idea when she did it either.
Well, but I think there's so many people campaigning for their favorite couple or whatever that they do get inundated with a lot of stuff like that. But General Hospital, both Frank Valentini, the executive producer, and Ron Carlifati right now both have Twitter accounts as well. And I know there are people that are out there tweeting, you know, we want the liaisons or JSAM or whatever. But I think I just want to tell them how much I appreciate what they've done for the show and how good it is and that I'm watching, and because I just don't want General Hospital to go off. But maybe it's something that, you know, the negatives outweigh the positives during certain periods of time. But it is interesting. If I remember that Michael Fairman had plugged the whatever the discussion was going to be on the Will storyline, and they had listed Allison and Chandler and Brian and was Lauren there too?
I know Deidre
was. Anyway, but they were. I had seen that in advance, and but you would certainly think that the writers would have been key part of that discussion. That is interesting. It's been about a year now that they've been there.
I hear a sound all of a sudden in there.
Yes, is your phone messed up, Angela?
I don't. I'm on my cell phone. I don't know. I can hear it too.
All of a sudden,
something rustling.
It wasn't there at the beginning. Just all of a sudden.
Okay, there we go.
That's better. There we go.
Okay. I don't know if it was me or not. If it was, I don't know what I did. So hopefully it doesn't come back.
Okay.
It's me.
That's okay. Weird glitchy things keep happening with live talk. So.
But like I said, I think, you know, I like the EJ and Sammy part. I wish that they would do something different though with the younger group, Gabby and Chad and Melanie and those guys. It just seems a little bit far fetched.
Sort of boring too. I don't know. I don't care for the chase.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sort of boring. Yeah. What interests me now is like the whole like EJ and Sammy, Nicole and Rafe and Carrie, and Austin. That whole group right there. Like the possibilities
I was never really that big of an Austin Carrie fan just because I didn't watch during the period of time they were really on, other than the very end before Austin Peck and
I'm still rooting for Austin and Carrie.
He left, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've really actually enjoyed that storyline, I got to admit. I mean, there's been a lot of layers to it, and these ensemble scenes where they've had, like, you know, you've got all these people in the room and they're finding out different things and they're all at the same time and they're all processing it and everything. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, you know, and then a few days later, you know, Sammy's spilling it to Carrie in front of Rafe that she knows that, you know,
she totally knows
that he slept with Nicole. And I'm like thinking, and Carrie's all indignant. And I'm like, what do you have to be indignant about, your little brat? You know? But I'm loving the way they're playing off of each other like that, and just the whole dynamic of this stuff getting spilled and then all the ramifications. Like, I have to admit they've really done a good job with that aspect, because I really didn't anticipate being pulled in, and I actually have found myself really watching those scenes. So
yeah, I think you're right too. I didn't expect I would have enjoyed, especially the crazy Abby part.
Yeah, and that was really good.
It really did turn out to be good. And
watching Austin squirm. I mean, he's got that down pat. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
his facial, you know, Patrick Muldoon's facial expressions through all that. And then my favorite, I think probably my favorite things of all, that was the scene where they were at the bar, at the pub, and Rafe and Carrie came in, and they were basically shouting across the pub, everybody's dirty laundry, and Lucas was there. And Brian D'Attilla's comment back over to Austin about when Austin said, "I don't even remember it," or something. He said, "Yeah, that happens to you a lot."
Happens to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sammy's like, "You're going to bring that up?" You know, like when
and then Sammy goes, "You're going to bring that up? Really?"
Oh, those were good. Those were good. Yeah. I have to admit.
And, you know, those are the things. Go ahead.
I've enjoyed this, you know, the ongoing stuff with Kate and Sammy, and with Lucas being involved in it now, you know, it's like, it's just funny. I mean, I don't know. I'm loving it. So there's some things I'm definitely loving about the show, and then there's some things that I really, mostly Alamania, that I'm really not into.
Oh, and John and Hope kissing was like, oh,
oh
my God.
I honestly feel sorry for Joe Mascolo because he's stuck in that storyline. And I feel so bad for him because, I mean, and it's not the actor's fault, you know, but it's just I feel bad because I'm like, really? You know, this is not being executed very well. It's not their fault as actors, but it just that story is, if it's all leading up from what I heard to something, then, first I thought it was just going to be the Fabergé egg, and I'm like, why do we care about that? But, you know, it's obviously leading up to revealing some things, you know, about the secret that he knows and, you know, all that. But at the same time, they've dragged it out so long and they've made it so painful to watch that it's almost strictly fast-forward material to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And this I forgot my point earlier, which happens a lot. But my friend that I was talking to tonight, she had her television on NBC, and she said, you know, here's another primetime commercial for Days. So, I do give credit to NBC. They're running a lot of ads for Days,
right.
You know, in the evening. And then I asked her, I said, well, what are they showing? And she says, oh, my gosh. She says, it's just the Alamania story.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
So,
that's what they're
spotlighting.
The promo this week is Alamania again. That's not going to draw anybody in. But that's the promo. That's
well,
the
it's bad
too,
when it's something
it.
That was cringeworthy the first time. What makes you think 10, 12
right.
years down the line is going to be any better? I mean,
exactly.
No, minus the business in the front and the party in the back. I mean, really, seriously? I mean, you know, I mean, other than an improvement in Drake's haircut, I really don't see you know, how this has gotten better over 12 years. I mean, some things... You could go back in time, you know, Tony and Anna and certain things. I mean, you could relive it. But you don't want to relive things like submarine sex. I mean, nobody
No, that storyline, we don't want to relive that one.
No, and you know, it's somebody was talking about this. I don't even know where I read it or heard it, but I know I've heard it from somewhere. It's not from me, but that they were just saying that, you know, as time has evolved over time, you know, they had this, you know, we had the brain chips or whatever originally with some of the stuff with Princess Gina, and, you know, I remember John going upstairs to take the brain chip out of her head or whatever, you know, ridiculousness. And then they had this whole gas thing and hypnotism activity.
That was bad.
And it's just, you know, it's just people are, you know, it's, you know, it's just, it, you know, that whole take on, I think, you know, the soaps are, I think that's just past. You know, some of it's just a little bit too. And I hope to goodness that it does improve. Like I said, I agree with you guys. I just kind of feel bad for them because I just don't know what's happening with it.
Now I did enjoy the ensemble stuff because I seem to like the ensemble things. It's really a lot of fun. I thought Ian putting together a dinner party,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, visiting mm-hmm. a shark tank, you know, I think I tweeted something about a shark tank, but it was interesting, you know, because he pulled Brady in just to gouge Brady a little bit, you know, more, and, you know, so he's got Brady and Madison.
I was just thankful to see Brady. You know,
yeah.
I haven't really seen Brady recently. I was thrilled that he was on the show.
Yeah. And so I enjoyed him. Well, so I don't like the character of Madison, but Brady and Madison are at this party, and then two people we don't know, but they're like fashion editors or something like that for Titan or something. And then Kate was there, and then Ian's at the head of the table and conducting this meeting. And I love their scenes. Of course, I've got a pimp Kian, Kate and Ian. You know, I just really enjoyed their scenes afterwards. And after, I mean, I didn't like the way, there are things I didn't like when he stood up and he was talking about, you know, at the beginning of the show, and he was saying, oh, I saw that dress in Paris and it just had to be on you or whatever. I was like, barf. To Madison, I was like, barf times a thousand. But, you know, obviously he's enjoying sticking it to Brady and Madison. So maybe that's where I can enjoy it from that standpoint, is he's enjoying really sticking it to them. But he's very, you know, he's poured it all a little thick. But anyway, go ahead.
I liked what, you know, he was saying. Oh, yeah, Kate, I liked it, you know, that Kate talked to him afterwards and, because she asked all the questions that we were thinking when all that was going on. It's, you know, I don't understand why you're, you know, if you say that you're, you know, loving me or, you know, just so fascinated with me, then why are you, you know, doing all these things, you know, for Madison? So that
even
was,
used
I
the word
that
gag-worthy. She even used the word gag-worthy. I love that.
I wish that Kate had been there when he made that ridiculous comment about the dress being right off the Paris runways or whatever. Because I thought to myself, you know, I know Dave's just got limited budget on wardrobe and so forth. But if you're going to say that something is a, you know, haute couture outfit, please don't put on a $69 dress from Macy's or from Target.
No, I don't know. It looks like it might have been from Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, it was maybe a fine dress. You know, it's hard to
believe
tell sometimes
me
on television, but
it's
just
a simple black dress.
Yeah. It did not look like a couture or anything
no
to me. So, you know, that was a little bit, you know, either just don't say it or come up with something else. But I wish that, like I said, because, I mean, I think Kate would have rolled her eyes easily if she had heard.
We would have gotten a Kate eye roll for sure on that one. Yeah. She would have had some smart-ass remark to make on that one, definitely. Towards the end of their conversation when they were sitting down, he put his hand, when they were standing, he said something like, you know, that I love you in a way that Stefano will never love you or something like that. And then, you know, and then they were sitting, I'm trying to recall the whole thing, but so jump in any time. But they were sitting at a table later and he reached out his hand and touched her. And I was just like, oh, and then she like took off breathless. I was like, oh, breathless. I like this. This is getting good. So, you know, so I think he's touching something of her that is getting to her. I want to see more of that.
I think we will get to. It sounds like there's
a lot
more coming
too
with that.
Yeah.
I can understand why they're trying, you know, from a plot perspective, you know, they're wanting to make sure that we know that Kate, you know, feels like, you know, Stefano is, you know, has kind of abandoned her or there's some problems there. I may have missed a portion of this, but I never understood how she got the information that Stefano was trailing Marlene.
Well, because a package came to the house from one of his goons, the goon that was tracking him.
Oh.
And
she decided to
open it. And she saw pictures of him, you know, of Marlena in the Horton Town Square and all that, and that he was tracking, and she's like, oh, my gosh, she's tracking her every move. And so she's thinking, since he hasn't returned a phone call in 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, and then she finds out that he's tracking Marlena's every move, she's immediately like, oh, wait a minute here, you know, and he's still in love with her, you know. And granted, I don't like to see Kate in that kind of, you know, weak position, if you will, because, you know, Kate would sooner cut it off than, you know, put up with that. But she cares about him. I mean, and you know, she loves Stefano, and this is really, really getting to her. So, you know, so
well,
for that reason...
It's definitely getting to her. The character, it is. Like I said, I understand why they're doing it from a plot perspective. I guess
yeah.
I still see Kate as being so strong of a character that would, you know, realistically, I'm not sure she would, if it wasn't a plot point right now, she would jump to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, it's like, you know how it is when you don't have information. When someone's not talking to you, you fill in the gaps. You start making up things on your end because you don't know. And so she's thinking, again, yes, it's definitely a plot point, definitely, you know, a way to advance the story, and maybe they could have done it in a better way, but at least they're giving her something to work with on this. And I think it also reveals, too, that she does have these unresolved feelings for Ian. And he obviously has feelings for her. I mean, when he first got to town, he told her that she was the only one he really loved or something like that. And so, you know, I mean, there's obviously that undercurrent there, you know. And they had that conversation a few weeks ago about how she was comfortable with Stefano and everything. And, I mean, part of me was kind of bummed about that because, you know, I know a lot of us have loved State and loved that pairing. And who knows how all this will be resolved. But, you know, they have been a really awesome pairing, but quite frankly, they haven't had a story in a long time. And so it's fun to have, you know, this little triangle thing going, and also I'm enjoying it, definitely.
Yeah, I could say I'm all for, you know, a story that Lauren's engaged in because I think she's a great actress, and, you know, just, yeah, I'm always thankful to see more of her. And yeah, I just think it's interesting. Like I said, I guess I really wish that, you know, I was more excited about Marlena being on the show than I am. Really kind of surprised.
Yeah.
I grew up loving Marlena as a child. I mean, I grew up watching that show. You know, I've watched it my whole life. And but you know, for some reason now that they're back, and I appreciate what she's done to a certain degree with Will. Now, I thought part of the last revelation conversation this week when she was giving back some Lady Gaga quote to him was a little bit much. But I don't know, for some reason it's not that I dislike Marlena, but I'm just not, other than some of the scenes with Will and the scene that she had with Jack, you know, and that's months ago now. I just haven't been. I'm not eager to see her. Well, I guess now, to be fair, the scenes with Sandy were pretty funny. I have to say, I forgot about those. So those were pretty good when she was confronting Sandy. But you know, it's just, I don't know. I wonder once
the Will story is completely out. You know, I kind of wonder how they'll use Marlena next, because I'm not sure that I just hope that they don't go into another, you know, where Stefano really does get obsessed about Marlena. Because I feel like there's a lot of good story that, you know, that happened, you know, many years ago now with them, but I'm not quite sure what detail you could tell. Do you think there's a potential of doing another Stefano Marlena, Stefano's obsessed with Marlena story?
I don't know.
It's almost like been there, done that. I don't know. I can't, you know.
She
has such a hatred for him. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's been like, well, I don't know, like how many times has she done that? gone after her.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like quite a few.
I really have hope, but I don't know if this is true or not. Because again, you know, you're just reading the stuff off Twitter or off these boards, but it does sound like that General Hospital is going to drop Matt Hunter, the character Matt Hunter that Jason Cook plays in June, and I really would like to see him come back as Sean Douglas. I really would. Even if he comes back by himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, I always like the original shell, you know, and I know Kirsten's doing
the shell.
Oh, I do
too.
And,
I always like the original.
She may or may not be able to come back. And again, you know, there's a lot. They grew them up with the different actors and so forth. But I really like Jason Cook, and I just think I really missed him. And I think it would be good for the Hope and Bo story to have Sean back in Salem. So I'm kind of hoping for that. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I keep reading stuff that he probably won't continue on General Hospital past. I think his contract's up in June.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that means that even if he went to work right away at Days of Our Lives, we wouldn't see him until the fall with their schedule.
At least it sounds like maybe GH will survive, if not for no other reason than to move into the revolt, the revulsion spot to be a lead-in for Katie Couric.
Well, I mean, it's a good show. I mean, I think Ron Colavati is a great, if not the best, writer now.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but what I'm saying is, no matter how good it is, I don't know that ABC was going to keep it around. If Revolution...
Oh, yeah.
Has gone well, I bet you GH would be gone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, I think that was the original plan.
Yeah.
And it may still, it still may happen because, again, they're trying to go strictly to affiliate programming and get out of the business of even providing feeds. And so that's their whole goal, financially. And so, But I think I'm hopeful that they're going to be on. If they go, if they move it to 2:00, I think that'll be good. I wish that at that point, the only thing I wish now is that if it's down to the four of them, I almost wish that the networks and the shows would almost agree to have different time periods so that none of the shows were running against each other. In Atlanta, Young and the Restless runs at 3:00. It's run delayed. So it actually runs against General Hospital right now. So like I said, I mean from that perspective, like in the Atlanta market, it would be interesting because then you'd almost have the soaps never competing with another soap. They would be competing with either the talk show or the whatever else they've got going. But I don't know if, like I said, I'm sure they're probably not going to cooperate to do that. And I think, the only reason that happens in Atlanta is that the company that owns the CBS affiliate in Atlanta, it owns Meredith Books and Good Housekeeping Magazine and all that kind of stuff, and they have their own little show that they try to run at 1:00 instead of Young and the Restless. But it's like I said, it's still a scary time for all the shit-out. And that's the only thing I said with Days and the writing is that, that's the thing that worries me. It's just that, like I said, the ratings are not good, and they don't, there just doesn't seem to be much of a change from week to week.
Yeah, I hope they see a bump now. I don't know. Are you talking about Days or GH?
Yeah,
Days
or GH. Yeah, well, GH,
had
a bump. And like I said, they've, GH and Days of Our Lives are pretty neck and neck right now, but especially in the core demographic, though, Days is really hurting.
I hope things get better. I mean, honestly, I think most of the shows.
Well, they keep promoting that
Alamania.
That doesn't
show. I mean, if they can actually make me like
Except
Ray
that.
And Nicole together, I mean, that's like
really?
A miracle right
really?
There.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a miracle.
For
me too.
You actually enjoy Rafe at all, unless
and you know
somebody.
The hatred I had for Rafe, so
yes.
How much
and, I mean,
I've criticized
Rafe. Marianne and I are actually openly admitting that we actually think that Nicole and Rafe are kind of interesting together and kind of hot. So
I don't know.
Yeah.
They are bringing out the best in him, but more so than Sammy or Carrie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I see more chemistry.
Well,
I kind of liked
him a little bit when Carrie and Rafe were in the office together, but. Now,
yeah, a little
I really don't.
Not
now
much
that I've
now.
Seen Nicole and Rafe together, I'm like really intrigued. There's just something about a guy being nurturing, and there's, like, this girl that's pregnant needing his help. I guess there's something, I'm a sucker for that, I guess. I don't know. But yeah. I don't know, I really like it. And I'm kind of having fun with the idea that everyone thinks they've slept together and they really hadn't. I'm kind of enjoying that right now.
It's like Three's Company, you know what I mean? Everybody's eavesdropping against everybody else.
Exactly! I'd forgotten about that. But
so
yeah,
are they
going to exactly
play on that? And have everyone just say if everyone thinks that, if, you know, of course
yeah,
he's saying
gonna,
he never
oh,
did.
Yeah, Ray's just going to pretend that, like he's the father of the baby. So.
He's the baby,
he
father of the
Monday.
Baby.
That comes out Monday, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't, okay. Because I've been, when you were talking about it, so it just hit me. I thought, okay, you know. Okay.
I just don't want EJ to be dumb.
That would
I don't like it when EJ plays dumb and for him to.
Well, EJ overheard it right at the end there. He overheard Nicole saying about being pregnant.
Yeah, EJ's not. Yeah, EJ's actually not buying it.
Okay.
Why?
Good.
What? No.
Good.
Yeah. Because yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, I hope.
You know, he's the man of paternity test. But yeah, of course, somebody will.
Poor guy. It's a burden when you've got magic sperm, but you never get to actually know that you've fathered a kid.
Yeah.
Years afterwards.
Jeez.
So you know, but. Anyway, I don't know. And,
that's a mirror.
I'm enjoying the Lucas and Sammy. See, I like Ejami and I like Lumi. I'm one of those tortured souls that, like, straddles the fence. But I've enjoyed both of their scenes. You know,
but not safe. No.
Yeah.
I like
the relationship.
Never like safe. I like the relationship between Lucas and Sammy, you know, because I think he does understand her and he has her number pretty well. And he calls her and stuff.
And they both said, I love you and I still love you. No, that
one thing that came out in the interview last night, I was talking to Brian about the fact that I felt like they had completely emasculated Lucas before he left town the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I said my hope was that he would come back and my hope was that he'd either be, you know, a really bad guy or he would at least, not a bad guy, but like that he would have an edge to him or he would have something different, you know, so maybe just be restored to, like, a human being instead of being a doormat and everything. And I said, I really have picked up on that it's not that he's arrogant, it's not that he's a jerk or anything, but he's come back and he seems to have a new level of inner confidence and you know, he's telling, he and Sammy are having this totally brutally honest conversation about their flaws and their weaknesses and all these things. And he just seems really centered as far as that goes. And so, and Brian shared that, you know, some of that was probably the character and the writing, and some of it was probably his own journey over the last couple of years. And he was glad that the writers had given him an opportunity to play Lucas being more self-assured and more, like, he had gone to Hong Kong, become successful, and did it, you know, came back. And now he's got more command of his life, and he's not, you know, being Chloe's doormat. And, you know, because I felt the whole promise to God thing where the only reason Chloe was with him was she promised God if he would, you know, live after he got blown up, you know, blown to bits by the ball, you know, all that I thought, you know, they really just totally emasculated him. And I was so glad that I saw such strength in him when he came back. And so that's something I'm really enjoying. And it was neat the way Brian shared his experiences and having had worked, he's been working at construction during his time off, and that he actually worked at Sony Pictures on construction, so it was really humbling and really, you know, a learning experience for him, and he came back stronger and maybe more centered himself and more focused and everything, and more appreciative maybe and everything. So I just thought that was really neat that he shared that and he was so open and
I think his performances are great. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying him. I was not disappointed because it was a good scene when they had EJ and Will and Lucas there at the mansion. That was the first time that Lucas was there. But I really wanted, I guess because, you know, I know that Lucas is clearly protective of Sammy, regardless of whether he's head over heels in love with her or if he just loves her because she's been a part of his life and he understands her. And, you know, because, again, y'all know I love EJ and Sammy and I hope that we get to see that. But I think that there's a really poignant relationship between Sammy and Lucas. And I would love to see Lucas go and talk to EJ one-on-one, not with Will there, not going back and forth about whether Will needs to be in the apartment or the car or doing whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but just, but really just talk to him about, what in the world were you thinking? Why are you, and because I think that would be a really, that could really be a great scene. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
between
hoping that
EJ
still
and
become.
Lucas. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah,
always have
I'm really
scenes
hoping
together.
I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Mm-hmm. And so I will hope maybe they will have something like that soon too. But I can't wait to hear your interview. I hate that I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to hearing the interview with Brian.
Well, be sure, I just want to make sure, Angela, that you hear salted French toast and not something else.
I heard salted. I heard
okay,
salted
thank
French
you.
Toast. But
Mama
I didn't understand
is,
the
Mama
I didn't understand
always,
the Lumi reference.
Yeah.
Yes, I just thought maybe that's how Brian liked his French toast. I don't know. I don't know why
yeah, don't think
you know
does.
You were asking that. But yeah. I said, oh, okay, that's different. Oh. Anything else? What else? What else happened
Brady.
On the show?
Yeah, like I said, we got to see a little bit of Brady, and obviously Brady mm-hmm. was back and he was drinking. So I hope that they will.
Pretty
have, like I said, I really
drink.
I'm still very much a Brady and Nicole fan, and so I like to hold out hope for that. And I really like Sarah Brown. I loved her when she, from General Hospital and some other things I've seen her in. I know she's a great actress, but I don't. I think most of you guys are not enamored with Madison, and I'm surely not mm-hmm. either. I love the whole idea of a strong female, but that is not what they have written her as. At all, and so I just don't have any. I mean, I don't have any interest in seeing a story with Madison in it right now. I don't even know who they would, what they could do, to shake it up. I kept thinking if she was actually the secret sister of EJ or something, she'd still
oh, no.
be born,
No, no, we don't want that. Not her. Yeah.
Other than something like that, I just don't see it. But I don't know. I love Eric Martzoff playing Brady, and I miss seeing him in a good story, not in a makeout scene. I don't. Like I said, we've seen too many of those. I like him. And I enjoy him. It's in context, but that's all they've really had him doing now for about 3 or 4 months. So I hope we do figure out what he's doing with Basic Black or whatever he's going to do. Because that was really kind of sad to me, to hear about, and to look at this and think, Brady was doing well as the head of Titan. And then he gave that up to go back to work with his dad on this Basic Black thing, whatever it really mm-hmm. is. Now that John is ISA, is there
no
even
basic
such
black.
A thing? But with Ian just talking about, this was the pinnacle of his career and so forth, and Ian's 30 years older than Brady or whatever. I'm thinking to myself, but I wonder how Brady, that would be interesting to see. I mean, Brady, all he was concerned about was being jealous over Madison at that meal. But, to me, it'd be interesting for him to say, I used to run that company. I like the character of Brady, love Eric Martzoff, and I hope that they'll be doing more with them because it's kind of sad and a waste right now what they've had him up to lately.
Let's see if we can cover you.
Caroline was back a bit.
Caroline was back.
Yay, Caroline.
And a little
back
bit of
next
Kayla.
Week too.
Yeah, a little bit of Caroline. What did you think about Lexi taking Abe back?
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm just glad for Abe she got the headache after they had sex instead of before, because the poor guy had already had plenty. So I'm like, he finally got to see them in bed together. I don't know how long it's been, but I don't remember the last time. I'm glad they got a scene. You know, glad they got a love scene. I'm just sad that it had to end with Lexi having some sort of tumor or something. You know how Lexi has a tendency to call people dead before they're actually dead or way too soon? Like, you know, like Tony, for example, not that we're bitter or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, oh, dear, he's coding a time of death.
Don't try to save him, Lexi. Yeah.
So I'm saying is Lexi going to, like, call time of death on her own code blue? I mean, is she going to be like, time of death before she's actually dead? Is she going to call it on herself? I don't know. But no. So I guess her mom will be coming back to the show, and she's got a brother. I saw a picture of him. He's pretty cute. So he's going to be coming to the show as a doctor. Let's hope his medical skills are better than hers. So we'll be interested to see that coming up.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point, too, that, you know, tomorrow is April the 1st, which was the anniversary of what I consider to be Tony's non-death.
I still don't
believe that he really died, and that was April the 1st. And so this tomorrow is the anniversary.
He's out there somewhere. Yeah.
He's alive.
He's still alive, yeah.
He is definitely alive.
Yes.
Yeah, we could have dropped
ready
that
to
whole, that what Alice, the dirt Alice had on Stefano. I wonder if we're going to get back to that.
What's that?
You know what I mean? The dirt that Alice had on Stefano. That's so upset.
The whole Fabergé egg thing, yeah. They're going to find out the answer to that in the egg.
Yeah, the egg has nothing to do with it, right?
It has nothing to do with what?
It's nothing to do with what Alice had on him.
I thought there's a message in the egg, and that's why he's trying to retrieve it, because that's the whole reason he set up all this stuff for Alamania, is because he's trying to get Gina and John to go back in time and find the egg that they hid. So, because apparently, I'm thinking that note must have tipped him off, that the secret is in there, and he doesn't want it to be exposed or something, so he wants, I don't know. I mean,
well,
I'm assuming.
But no, he read something that made him cry, like he knew.
I know, but what I'm saying
so
is it's not a surprise to him, but maybe he wants the access to it to keep it for himself. Maybe he's afraid that it will be revealed or something. I don't know.
Oh, that it's somewhere else.
Honestly, if it doesn't involve that secret, I'm like, why in the hell are we going there? I mean, there's no point.
Yeah, it's like
they forgot about
the secret and went
but
are doing
I'm pretty
completely
sure
different.
That somehow it all ties together somehow. It's got to. It's got to. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that there's ever been a drop storyline. That would never happen. But there's got to be, because that's why he left town in a hurry. That's why he set all this stuff up. All of a sudden, you know, John and Gina are still married, yada, yada, you know, and it seems to me like he's using that to his advantage to resolve another aspect of the mystery or something like that. But it's just the way they're executing it, because it's like, I like the idea of going back in time and using history and tying things together like that, you know, but at the same time, it's like the way it's been executed has been fairly poor. Speaking of going back in time, we did talk about the Will story about shooting EJ. That was an interesting discussion. That they really were intending, we talked to Brian last night, they really were, and Carrie, you also said that Tom Casciello had said this too, they really were writing it that Will was the one that shot EJ, but then I guess they said the fans figured it out too soon into the story. And they also were concerned, some people, probably the people at NBC, were concerned with the idea of some teenager being the one that shot him or whatever. And so they changed the story and had it be Lucas. But it really was intended to be Will. So I was pleased that they came full circle on that with the current Will story. I'm glad they used history on that. But I brought it up to Brian because I said it was interesting because I was shocked that they even remembered that story. And further that they tied up that loose end, because a lot of fans at the time were like, wait a minute, you know, they found that shack and it had teenagers had been hanging out there and everything.
And there was a lot of speculation at that point that it was Will.
Then it was
and
Will,
so
right.
then mm-hmm. they just dropped it. Then it was just like all of a sudden Lucas is looking guilty and everything, and you know. So I like it that Lucas is vindicated and that, you know, that the fans got some resolution. So anyway, so I do, in some cases, it does work to go back and do that kind of thing. But with the Alamania, because they're dragging it out and they're making us watch a painful period we didn't like the first time around, that makes it worse.
Rex in the chat room has a great theory that maybe Alice knows that Lucas wasn't Bill Horton's son, but really Kate's son with Ian. Instead, that
oh,
is what Kate
okay.
to find out. I thought that was different. Never
yeah.
heard that before.
But then, that's true, but then why would he cry? It almost seems like it would need to be something that would hit him personally. Like
yeah, why would Stephanie?
Or maybe he thought he was going to lose his wife to Ian. That's one thing I can think of.
Oh, well, that's true. That's an angle. Definitely an angle. That's a good thought. Yeah, or it could have to do with parentage of another kid or something, too. I mean, there's different theories going on out there, but...
Do we know if Stefano knows about Kate and Ian from before?
I don't know. I don't think.
I think we'll learn more
know?
About that this. We'll learn
I don't
more
think
about
so.
That this week.
Yeah.
This week and next, we'll learn a lot more about that.
Because usually Stefano knows everything, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how Stefano is. He's got a camera.
Yeah.
He has enough pool
yeah,
to
I'm
have
sure
a camera.
He's going to know
everywhere.
Soon.
So, you know, he has a camera in Hortontown Square. So, you know, following Marlena. Speaking of Marlena, the Kate and Marlena scene.
The cat fight.
I was glad.
Yeah.
Yes, I was glad that Kate brought up the John and Kate history. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was all kinds of awesome.
In a way, yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I like
they
that.
They were engaged. They were engaged.
Like,
they were in love.
Yes, I loved that. So I just any time we can remind Marlena of that, I enjoy that immensely. Because Jake was pretty hot. Anyway, so yeah, they had some scenes, and I like the way Kate's like, and you don't have to keep things, you know. She's basically trying to say, look. He's my grandson, too, and you don't have to tell me how to run my relationship with him, and you don't have to be involved in it. Thank you very much. You know, I like that.
And she said, he has another grandmother, too.
Yes.
You know, like we were all saying, you know, there's another grandmother.
Yeah.
And she basically
Kate,
said the same thing.
Kate
yeah.
finally said what we've been saying for weeks. I mean,
right.
I like the scenes with Will and Marlena, but this whole time the huge elephant in the room was that Kate's his other grandmother, and Kate's always been as involved in his life, if not more so, than Marlena was. And so
right.
it didn't ring true that she wouldn't have been in on it from the beginning, or at least close to the beginning. And I love that they had those scenes at the Common Grounds where they, you know, where Kate was on to it right away, and she's known for a while and everything. I'm glad they didn't make her like, what do you mean you're gay, Will? You know. I'm glad they made it where she was totally, like, accepting and, like, you know, hey, you know, it's okay, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm just glad that they didn't make her, like, out to be the villain or something and all that. I have a feeling maybe Austin's going to butt heads with Will over it because I saw something on Twitter. I think they were talking about it or something. So maybe, you know, he's got to have some detractors. There's got to be some.
He's
got to
have somebody that's not going to accept it, in the family.
And even if it's from the standpoint of not that they care that he's gay, but just that they worry about him because they want him to be happy and they don't want him to be hurt, you know. I mean, somebody can have a difficult time handling the situation because it's not what they envision for their child and still be supportive of their kid. They just may have a rough time getting to that
point. But do you think there'll be somebody that won't be accepting at all? Because that
I don't know.
Happens
it
in reality,
to
too.
I'm
I mean,
sure
that does
they've got to have some, but they've got to have that somewhere in the story.
Yeah, someone.
And
in the
I
family.
Thought there was a tip off. I thought maybe it would be Lucas initially because Lucas made that comment about I need to talk to a man to man or something when he first came to Salem. He was kind of like guy talk or something. You know, he kind of made this reference like, you know, mano a mano, like two guys, you know, like macho, a little bit macho. So I was like, oh, maybe they're going to have Lucas be the antagonist in this. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think so.
No, it doesn't sound like it. No. Mm-mm.
So anyway.
Unless it's Sammy.
mother.
But what I also love is that Kate, being the hot, amazing, awesome person that she is, she doesn't shy away from her grandson actually calling her grandma, and I love that. Because the other grandma wants him to call her Doc, or Marlena. So I kind of enjoy the fact that Kate really doesn't have, you know, an issue with her grandson calling her grandma. So
we lost Angela. I don't know what happened.
Oh,
hello?
Oh. Yeah, Angela.
We were dropping calls last night.
It's a drop, yeah.
Or maybe did she hang up? Oh.
I don't know.
Her complaint department?
No, she usually tells us when she's gone.
Yeah, Blog Talk has been glitchy lately. Wonky or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So, but, you know,
I'm kind of ready to call it a night and say the truth.
Yeah,
hey,
me too.
You've been doing flooring all day.
I work tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it a night.
Yeah,
day.
I think we covered mostly everything.
Yeah, I think you guys did.
Yes, what was that interview we're doing in about 9 days?
Oh,
what was that again, Anna?
I think it was April 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Lauren Coslow and Andy Cannon as Kate and Ian. We'll get to talk with both of them. It should be quite a lively chat, so looking forward to it. Excited to have both of them at the same time, and we can all talk to them about this rather interesting events that are coming up for their characters. And so definitely looking forward to that.
Be fun.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
We'll try to
Thanks
get that scheduled tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I wish Blog Talk would have done it today, but Blog Talk wasn't cooperating. All righty. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye. Bye.